questions that really sink deep to the heart. And some of you might be disconcerted that I would just use the word man's abandonment of God. Now, either way, you said, ooh, I know my man. Yes, he needs to hear this. Or you said, wait a minute, don't be a chauvinistic pig using only the male. Well, again, I want to encourage you from the words of a very theological treatise, which comes from FIFA, the Federación Internacional de Football Association. The laws of the game for 2015 and 2016. Normally I don't read you such deep words. But it says this in the opening pages of their laws of the game. References to the male gender in the laws of the game in respect to referees, assistant referees, players, and officials are for simplification and apply to both men and women. My friends, if we can get it with the game of soccer, we can get it with our Christian theology. If we study the book of Genesis, we see that God created man, male, and female. So at times I might include the female specific English words and pronouns. Other times I may not, but trust me, we are all man, woman, boy, and girl. Firstly, the triune God is wrathful against man's spiritual immorality of abandoning him. The triune God is wrathful against man's spiritual immorality of abandoning him. Now, why, Joel, would you say that this abandonment, this falling away from the Lord, gives us hell? Well, one of the misinformed ideas of hell is that hell involves the absence of God. See, we tend to play into the cultural idea that hell is run by Satan and his minions. And they're laughing and giggling and cackling and torturing and all of this. No. They are in hell too. And hell is not the absence of God in its totality. Hell is the absence of God in his graciousness, in his blessedness. Hell is the full wrathful presence of God. And so as we begin to look at life on this earth, as we have abandoned God and his ways, as humanity, as man has done this, and we see that God's wrath is revealed from heaven, we must overlay with this the idea of hell, which is a real place, where there will be real torment, and it will really last forever. God's wrathful presence. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. There are not multiple views of truth. There is one truth. If something is true in the front of the room, it is true in the back of the room. If something is true in pew one, not that anybody needs to worry about what's true in pew one, the most underused seating here. It's also true in pew 10. Truth is truth. There is one truth, for it is from one God, the triune God, the living Lord of the universe. Now, men suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. They ignore the truth. They ignore reality. They choose to ignore what they know to be true. Isn't this the humanity from nearly the get-go? Again, Genesis 1 and 2 are the backbeat to this text. They drive it, they inform it, they fill it out. Because we see the moment that humanity abandoned them, suppressed the truth that they knew, and began to experience the wrath of God. In the garden, the simple truth of a fruit not to be eaten. You can't get much more simple than that. But those of you parents who have told your children, don't eat a cookie before dinner, know how complex of a reality this is for the heart that is in rebellion. As you come back and there are crumbs and chocolate smeared, but I didn't have a cookie. Yes, you did. It's literally written all over your face. No, I didn't. Sin is multiple in the life of that child. Again and again, contemporary sin returns to this domain. It's simple, it's clear, it's straightforward. And yet in that moment, Adam's heart was darkened, and our hearts were darkened. Adam's heart was corrupted, and therefore we are corrupted. All aspects of our humanity fell on that day. There was not one part of us who was left unkissed by Adam's sin. And God's wrath against sin and unrighteousness is revealed. As there exists sin and unrighteousness for him to be wrathful against, even to the point of hell. The Holy Spirit, writing through Paul, could have pointed to God's grace in overcoming sin. The grace of God is revealed. And that is indeed true. Or God's justice is revealed. Does it understand how he will prosecute sin? But no. Paul here is pointing to the tough spot that we are in our sin. And he points to the far end of the spectrum to God's wrath. Says God's wrath is revealed against man's spiritual immorality of abandonment. And secondly, abandoning God leads to physical immorality, which leads to hell. Abandoning God leads to physical immorality, that outer man living in accordance with the inner man leads to hell. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, abandoning God leads to physical immorality. Let me tell you that there is such a thing as physical immorality. There is such a thing as right and wrong. No matter how good it feels, no matter how much that I believe my actions are now aligning with my true self, there is physical immorality. We aren't just to do what we feel we want to. This is plain and simple, and yet look at our culture around us. If I want to do it, therefore, I should be able to want to do it, no matter how irrational it becomes. No matter how ridiculous it looks, I can take two opposing ideas and merge them into one. If you don't want to see how this works, then don't watch TV. until the election is over in 2016. We are going to lower taxes, and we are going to up social programming. Really? We are going to raise minimum wage to $15 an hour and make sure that small businesses aren't hurt by this. Really?
No.
You must be a miracle worker and you're going to Messiah.
No.
Let me vote for you. The abandonment of God leads to physical immorality. The spiritual part of man and the physical part of man are two distinct yet interconnected entities and realities. Well, I can look at the outer you and say, that's the real you. I see the glare back there where I presume Mike is sitting, and I say, behold, he is there. That's the real you. But our heart, our inner person, is the real us even more so. Even more so. See, in this age of gender transition and all these things going on, even atheistic, secular, have no interest in what Scripture says. Psychiatrists are saying we should not do gender reassignment surgery. Why? Because it doesn't deal with the inner reality of what's going on, the conflict of nature. The heart is the real you. No matter the external fanciness or fanfare or whatever outward things we put on, the true parade is in your guts, is on the inside. It's who you really are. And this inner man reality impacts the outer actions of our person. And God gave them up. God gave them up to a false god, a god of their own making. God gave them up to a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They believe what is false. They believe it. They act like it's true. Jeremiah 13:25. This is your lot, the portion I have measured out to you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in lies. Psalm 31:6. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. My friends, I hope you took opportunity to listen or to catch back up to the debate that went on the House floor this week. As the issue of abortion was debated, it was asinine and ridiculous. When they are virtually confessing with their lips that this is a child, this is a baby. One gentleman, he's in the church with sleep, stood up and said, I praise God for Roe v. Wade because it upheld the sanctity, the holy faith of a woman's choice. That is the most important thing. And I believe it was the same man who went on to say, I will not vote for this legislation, this Born Alive Act that they are reintroducing with harsher penalties. I will not vote for this because it mandates that the child be transported to the hospital. And what if that child is too frail to be transported to the hospital? Now we're concerned about that. The tweet that I started to finish was, I have every confidence that a baby born alive in a facility. receive top-notch, life-saving care. Hashtag, not real. But this is the insanity of our culture. The moment we take our worshipful gaze off the divine, off of the triune God, off of Jesus Christ, it always becomes distorted and crazy and destructive. It leads to a physical immorality, which leads to hell. And God gives them up in the lust of their hearts to do this. One line that has always stuck out to me from C.S. Lewis, and we can debate how great of a theologian he was, but you will not be able to disagree with this line. I guarantee that. Okay. There are two kinds of people. You know this quote? There are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." Two kinds of people. We will either submit and subject ourselves to the holy law of God, or we will submit and subject ourselves to the insanity of man. Which will it be? Thirdly, abandoning God leads to spiritual immorality, which leads to hell. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passion. He gives them up to these impurities that dishonor their bodies. Now he gives them up to dishonorable passions. The women exchanging natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And then likewise, give them natural relations with women who are consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Again, if we take our worshipful gaze off of Christ, then we begin to worship the created order in any fashion or way, it becomes distorted. And again, rather than worshiping the one who made us in his image, we begin worshiping the one who looks like us and acts like us. John Piper, in his analysis of homosexuality, says that if he believes that it's just the ultimate form of self-worship, you are giving all that you can possibly give as a person to someone who is exactly like you. It's self-worship. And my friends, the wrath of God comes against it. It is not beautiful. It is not normal. It is not just another way to live life. It is an abomination before the Lord and another evidence of our abandoning of God. Fourthly, abandoning God leads to exponential immorality. Now, I think there's a certain genius in the order of Acts that Paul lists in Romans 1, because we in the contemporary church tend to stop at verse 27 and say, aha! See, when you abandon God, you walk away from his ways, it ends in homosexuality, and that is where we are. Read on, my friend. Read on. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, we would probably tie that to the homosexual acts referenced in the verses prior. Paul doesn't. He ties it to the list to come. See, he talks about this impurity, the lust of their hearts, the dishonoring of their bodies. He talks about dishonorable passions. But then it seems to have another twist of the knife, saying he gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, and if there were a period there, you might be able to draw it back up into 26 and 27, but unfortunately, there's a comma all manner of righteous unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder. The words of Christ echo on what is true murder. Strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, rude. See, in Numbers 2 and 3, we're talking about physical immorality, the outer man being driven by this spiritual immorality of the inner man, and one leading to the other. Perhaps at a certain point, one would be conflicted about the sins that they are committing in the body. Perhaps at a certain point, one might be conflicted of the sinfulness they know in their heart, even though they are not acting on it. But my friends, when we come to verses 28 to 31, we see the outer man and the inner man working in concert like you would not believe to generate a sinful life where on all levels, in sins like murder that are driven outwardly and inwardly, the strife that is felt with others, deceiving others, not just denying truth, but presenting your own truth to deceive others. Maliciousness. It's interesting that malice is noted twice in Paul's listing. Spreading of words that need not be spread. Downtalking others who don't need to be downtalked. Hating God. The list goes on. Even children, are you hearing this? Children, disobedient. You hear that, don't you? Not honoring your father and your mother. The little kids, of course, this applies to you, but young people of the church, those of you who are starting to make your own decisions and step out in your own way in life and in school and in whatever endeavors that you have, are you honoring your parents in the truth that they have taught you in bringing you up? Or are you thumbing your nose? Young people, if you don't know what that means, it's the same as waving the middle finger on the bed and saying, I can make my own way. You will make your own way, but it will be a way of breath. Be a way that God judges. How much more to walk in, how much better to walk in the ways of the Lord and know His blessing than to abandon God and bring upon yourself living hell. Fifthly, abandoning God makes you lead others. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. And listen, we can start back in the garden. What did Adam and Eve know? What had they been told by the Lord? Do not eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. And what did Satan come along and say? You won't die. Be wary, be cautious, especially young people. Be wary and cautious of anyone who comes along and says this long-held truth of Christ's church, His body, His bride. It's not like that. Run away as far and fast as you can from what He says. For that is how it all began. Has God really said, you're not going to die? He knows that you will become like Him, knowing good and evil. the best used car salesman out there only gives a part of the story. This would make a great work vehicle. Generally, this makes a great vehicle to work on. Right? Always with enough of the truth to be believable. There was a time in California, there was a season where an anonymous blogger had a blog going on about the inner workings of our church. It's really hard to do gospel ministry when that type of thing is going on. Because, well, I sent it to a friend of mine that I had some political work with, and he emailed back the perfect question. How much of it is true? How much of it is true? And I emailed back, just enough. That's how Satan works. And that's how we work when we abandon God and continue to live in that abandonment. We are giving others just enough truth and just enough light, and we are leading them with us on the grand parade. We not only do that, but give approval to those who practice. My friends, this text is a fantastic opportunity for us to examine ourselves. Next week, we celebrate 25 years of the Lord's faithfulness to us, and we know that that is not because of us. It is despite us. And yet today, we can pause and say, are we fully embracing the truth? Are we clinging to Him as our only hope in this life and the life to come? Or have we begun believing a lie? It's a perfect opportunity to examine ourselves, to repent of our sins, and not only be struck as we look in the mirror with the goriness of our sin, but also with the glory. For all the sins listed here, for all of God's people, Christ suffered. And He died that we might live, and He was raised again so we might live for eternity. The fall gives us help. Christ, the true and faithful Son, risen and ascended Savior. Jesus. Savior. Lord, we do so clearly see the sinfulness of this text in our culture. Right? Help us to see the remnant of it in ourselves, even as Christ has come and conquered our hearts, even as He has given us faith to believe in Him, even as He has granted us repentance to turn from our sin, we still long for the leaves in Him. We still long for the comfort of what we once thought to be true. Lord, help us to believe Your word, be sanctified by its truth. Lord, help us to deny that place of wrathful vengeance in our life, clinging to Christ, the only hope for this life and the life to come. Lord, save and sanctify us today.